Are you connected?
Hello and welcome to Are You Connected, episode number 60. Today is February the 28th, the last day of February, and here tonight I have with me Lois Smethurst. Hello, Lois.
Hello, Jenny. How are you?
Not too bad for this time of the night.
How's the weather in Bendigo and Epsom?
Very cool.
Very cool, considering what we've had.
We've had hot weather, so it's probably just nice.
We've had record hot weather, haven't we? The longest stint of days above 30, I think, ever.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I just thought it was me. It wasn't. Okay, so what have you been up to, Lois, at your school?
What have we been up to? Oh, lots of things, getting everything started and getting the iPads going and working on some projects. Our school's got some projects running this year, from a robotics project for the grade 3s and 4s to our digital TV project, which is creating an online digital TV station. And Tony from IT Made Simple's going to be consulting with us on that. So we've begun work on that, so that's pretty exciting.
So does that involve having a website where you upload videos to and it runs as a TV channel?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'll keep you updated as we work it out. We're going to work it out as we do it. We're going to... Done too is taken some baseline data, some information about the kids' literacy skills.
Yes.
And compared them, because there's two grades are going to do that, one in grade 3, one in grade 4. And we have seven grades in grade 3 and 4 altogether. Mm. So we just sort of did some overall testing of results so that at the end we can say, well, it's done them no harm, or look how well they've done.
Well, they're just the same.
And so, and this is a much more exciting program, so why don't we do this?
Sounds good.
That's my plan. So we're just getting set up for that.
So planning.
That's what we're doing. And what have you been up to?
Well, we're still on our cyber safety mission at Epsom,
yes.
and striving forward to get our e-safety tag.
Yes.
So yesterday we had Tony Richards come and do a great cyber safety day with all the kids.
Same Tony from IT Made Simple.
Yeah, he gets around, travels the state, travels the country. But he did a great job. The kids were mesmerised and answered his questions and watched his great videos and could tell you great things about cyber safety, which was good.
It is good, isn't it?
I had our kids make comments on the blog, and they had to put some...
Which blog?
On our school blog.
Okay. And about the program?
Well, they had to put their cyber safety tip, what their best tip was. So I did it pre to Tony coming, and then they had another go after Tony had came and see what different things they could put on.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
It is interesting. I'm thinking of starting a cyber safety student group to see if maybe they've got some good suggestions that they can help kids stay safe and, you know, online. But I'm leaving it up to the kids. I said, you come back to me and let me know, because how do you think this might work? And they're all pretty keen on it. The last one said today, so would we have meetings? I said, yes, you'd have meetings. He said, and would we get a badge?
And other meetings in school time, didn't they say that?
No.
And Lois, you've got all your blogs all set up for the year?
That's something we've been working on. And, you know, it's always a bit of a dilemma. Do you start fresh or do you roll them over? And I decided that there was a lot of really nice work on those blogs. We're talking about blogs belonging to a grade. Mm-hmm. So I've decided to roll them over rather than delete all the work, and I left it on there. And what we've done is sort of archive the students in a sense by setting them to subscribers, the old students, so they can't get onto those blogs anymore.
Yeah.
But I haven't taken them off because their work is categorised against their name, and I don't want to lose that. And then we've added all the new students and created new categories, and that work's still on there, and updated the header and different things like that. So I've kept the same blogs, you know, mostly wherever possible. And so the kids can just add to it and see what the other kids before them did. So what about you, Jen? What have you done with your blog?
Well, I did... they've updated them and chosen new themes and things. Some have given their blogs a new title, but we've kept the URLs the same because they're linked to things and that would make things not work. So we wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
One of the blogs that was a community, I've actually added a couple of wikis to, so their individual grades can have things particular to them in the wikis that are on the blog.
That's a good idea.
And then the general blog will have things that cover both grades when they both do things together, like all the grade sixes do things and that sort of thing. So that will cover the community because we have four learning communities at the school.
Yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it?
And I've also started using wikis with the grade five sixes, giving them a go at having a go at wikis.
Yeah, they're not something I've used a lot. I try to, but I end up going back to blogging, I think.
Yeah, they're sort of, they're not new. I mean, I've used them years ago.
Oh, no, they're not new.
We did the Titanic on them and all sorts of things. I think the kids like having their own page, though, and they can put what they like on their own page.
Yeah.
And, you know, can have lots of pages on it and do about a topic or something, and then they can help each other on their pages and comment on their pages. Things like that. So, and I set up the wiki for the 24-hour Skype.
Yes.
With different things, and I've embedded a Google map into it and the Google spreadsheet with the timetable and different things like that.
And your 24-hour Skype is tomorrow, isn't it?
It is tomorrow. So I probably should be in bed right now getting
you
extra
should be
sleep.
Getting sleep, yes.
But I bet I won't. I'll be awake quite late. And as usual, and tomorrow we go for 24 hours. Last time I made it. So
I think you'll make it, Jen.
The coffee will be on. And as long as you keep active and doing stuff, you're right.
What else are we going to talk about, Jen? We've got a bit of a theme for this blog, this post, haven't we?
Yes, mirror, mirror on the wall. How many ways or what are the main ways that we can mirror our iPads or iDevices?
Yeah, because I think that's important. Once you get your iPads working in your classroom, it's great to be able to share the work on the big screen and mirror them so that the kids can see what everyone else is doing, or you can pull up someone and share it. Yes. So I think it's one of the key skills teachers need to develop once they've mastered getting the iPads working in their groups and in their classrooms.
And, I mean, some schools are actually pulling out whiteboards, putting in big LCD screens and mirroring their iPads onto there and then just walking around the room with an iPad and you're drawing on the iPad and it's coming up on the big screen.
Yes, well, you can do that on an interactive whiteboard as well, but it's just the colours are probably much better on an LCD screen, aren't they?
Yes, much better. And you don't need a projector that's going to die.
No, that's true. Projectors are a nightmare, aren't they? The first way that I ever learned to mirror was just with the dongle onto straight from your iPad into your computer.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing at conferences not long ago, was just hooking our iPads directly into our computers, which then showed onto the big screen.
Yeah, and I even bought one of those boxes that looked like something from the 1980s that allowed you to switch from laptop to iPad.
I see. Two screens, yeah.
With a switch on it, and you connect two things to it and then one thing connected to the projector.
Yeah, I remember that. And where is it now, Jen?
I actually lent it to a teacher the other day to use in her classroom because she hasn't got reflector on her laptop. And she's wanting to use both. Another way, of course, with a document camera. Yes. Have you used one of those, Lois?
I don't have a very good document camera, so I haven't, but I know there's an advantage of using the document camera, which is...
Yes. You can show exactly what your hand is doing, it's pointing to, what it's touching, and if you even get a pen or something that's pointier than your finger that doesn't block the whole button you're clicking on, you can then use that to show this is what we need to point on. Because I've started using with, when I use reflector, I've got my little light, you know, one of those little lights, lights, what do you call them?
LCD lights.
Little laser light thing, and I point that up at the screen and then I'll give some lucky person who's sitting up straight will get to use the laser pointer.
I bet they like that.
And can you point to what we need to do? And yes, they like that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Works in grade one and two.
So we've mentioned reflector twice now, Jen, so perhaps we better just talk about reflector because...
Well, reflector and AirServer, they're both software that you get to put on your laptops and you can run it through that.
And they're my favourite.
And you get an app to put on your thing, but you do have to have... good networks for that to work? Wi-Fi?
Your iPad and your laptop have to be on the same network. But the beauty of it is that you can walk around the room with your iPad and it connects to the board. So you're not stuck in a spot. So and with Reflector, you can swap in and out. You can choose different people to show their work straight up onto the
onto the screen if they're all on the same network, which they usually are.
And of course you can record with Reflektor as well.
Yes, that's one of, that's my favourite part of it. We use it to share work, and the kids come up and they turn their Reflektor on and hook up to the screen, and while they're showing their work, I can record it straight onto my computer. And then they just disconnect and the next one hooks in, so you can go one after the other.
Yeah, and you can put iPhones up there as well and just run your iPhone.
Yeah. We used the other day.
Which is handy if you want to show something that's not available on your iPad.
Yeah. We used it the other day in a meeting where I stuck the computer up the front on the screen and then went back and sat at the table at the meeting and used my iPad and my wireless keyboard to type the minutes. And normally someone has to get up and keep shifting where the laptop's up to so the minutes stay on the screen. But by using the ones on, we were using Google, by using Google Drive on my iPad, you know, it was all run from the table where we were sitting and having our meeting, and everyone could just look up at the screen and see where we're up to.
Oh.
So that was quite good, I thought.
That worked out well, didn't it?
That did work out well.
And then there are some software ideas.
Yes.
Some different software packages that allow you to mirror to different iPads. So mirror your iPad to someone else's iPad. And like IdeaFlight will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Nearpod, which is a little bit different because you use a website to set up your whole presentation, which can be a mixture of video, PowerPoint type things, audio, and put that together and then play that on everyone else's laptop.
So you push it out to their iPad. So everyone's looking at the same thing. Mm.
But a really good write-up on 5 basic ways to share is on Tony Vincent's website, on his Learning in Hand website. And he's got a good table there that goes through different things and tell you which one does what.
Yeah.
Which one doesn't do certain things.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to look at.
Yeah, because I think people, you know, you need to choose what suits your purpose. I like Reflektor because it records, but other people might just want to use an Air Server one, which, you know, just does the mirroring and it's wireless. So I guess everyone has their purpose or what they're comfortable with.
That's right, yeah, and they have tiny little different ways some things might work, and of course there's your Apple TV as well. We haven't mentioned that.
No,
Reflektor.
Yeah.
If you put your Apple TV on and you need a HDMI connection for that, and if you've got newer projectors, apparently they have it, but some of the older ones don't have HDMI.
Oh, it's straight to a TV, of course. No, it's straight to a screen.
Yeah, well, if you had a TV screen or something, you could run it to that, couldn't you?
I did that in the holidays while I was busy doing some jobs. So I hooked up the TV and ran some films and podcasts through my Apple TV onto the telly.
It kept
me amused.
Yeah. And one of the lists on the table that Tony has got is seize your fingers and gestures. And yes, the only one that would do that is the document camera.
Yeah.
Built-in screen recording, it is all sorts of things. Works with iPad 1 and older iPod Touch. That's interesting.
Well, that's good too, isn't it?
The only one that will work with that is a document camera, of course.
Yeah, because the others don't have. Is it because they don't have a camera? Or is it? No, they don't have Air Server. That was one of the biggest upgrades with the iPad 2, wasn't it? Was the air serving ability.
Yeah. So I wonder how many schools have still got iPad ones.
Well, a lot would have, Jen, because all those schools in the trials all got iPad ones.
Yeah, it'd be mainly all the people who have been in it a while, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they would all still have their iPad ones, and it's not as if they stop working.
No, they still work. They're slowing down, though, because more updates come out, and when developers update their apps, suddenly it won't work on the older ones.
Well, the same used to happen with software, didn't it, on computers?
Yeah, it's the same as that.
Working, yeah.
So.
Talking of apps, what are your app recommendations, Jenny?
Well, I came across Bindle, which is a great little, creates PDFs and you can add annotations using speech bubbles and more. The good thing about it is it allows you to select more than one picture at a time. So you collect all your pictures, you put them in it, and then you can
make
add
a montage,
speech,
for example.
Well, it puts each one on a different page. Then you can add speech bubble to each page, okay, or text and bind it together as a book.
Okay.
And it comes out as a PDF. You can view it in your iBooks or wherever you'd like to view different things.
Okay. Mm. I might give
so
it
it's
a shot.
A very simple thing. That's what I liked about it, simplicity of it.
I used the one that you recommended. It's Text on Pix Pro, which was free at the time, which was did a similar thing. So I tried that one out this week.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't as simple. You know, I used it with grade twos, and it wasn't as simple as I thought it might be. So, but I could see that it was going to be useful. We'll give it another shot next week, or I might download the Bindle one. That might be better.
Have you updated Explain Everything?
I haven't got Explain Everything yet, Jen.
Oh, haven't you?
No, because I haven't finished the volume purchasing program business where you have to go through and create the facilitators. I'm up to that stage. That's my next big job on my list.
Oh, okay. Well, they have updated it.
Yes.
And I downloaded it the other day onto an iPad that didn't have it. And it was different to the one we used. And I thought, oh, this is
really
different.
Really?
Yeah, and it's different. And I'm not sure if it's as easy. It's got more features. It allows you to upload videos, I think.
Mm.
Put videos into it.
Well, I guess the solution to that would be to keep the easy edu-creations, the very simple edu-creations, and have the Explain Everything for something more complicated. Because edu-creations is the free version, and then you can have the Explain Everything for something when you want to do something a little bit more complex.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think they definitely have made it more complex.
I don't like that.
To me, it seemed easy just to tap and hold on the pencil and choose a different colour.
Yeah.
Now the colours are down the bottom and you have to tap on them and sort of, I don't know, maybe it's just because of what you get used to.
Yeah, it could be. Could be that. I'm saying we've never had it, we might not notice that.
Because someone else tweeted and said they love the changes.
Oh, there you go. See?
So,
I think it depends on what grade you're working with often.
Could be, and the new features might be what they were looking for.
Yeah.
For using it for a different audience. Yeah, could be.
The other thing my big recommendation is, you know how we love to have our iPads for creating, but it's just nice to have some good quality stories on there too, nice books for kids. And
yes.
So this came from John Pierce's Scoop It, I believe, and it's Digital Storytime blog that does reviews of digital stories and it's beautifully organised into, you can choose books by date, by quality, by size, by language, by feature, by age, by price. So I just set it to find all the free books. And the reviews that are written about each one are very, very thorough. And I've found some beautiful stories that I'm just going to pop into a folder called books. So when kids want a bit of quiet time, if they want to just, the teacher says, listen to the way a book's read, hear the storytelling voice, get the language of books going, I think there's some fantastic choices on there. So that's my recommendation.
Hmm. And if you don't put a dash in that digital story time, you get a different website.
It is a dash, but I'll put on our blog, I'll put the little picture of the header there so it gives you an idea of what you're looking for. It is digital-storytime.com.
Yes.
And one of the stories, the Miss Spider books. Do you remember those? Lovely little picture books for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of thing's on there. So very nice.
Mm.
Anyway,
that's interesting.
It is. So Jen,
good to have a selection of stories.
It's hard to get good stories on there, I think. So often you get a snippet of a story, and then to get the full story, you have to buy the rest of it, which is fair enough. But these are the complete story. But the reviews are very well written. You can, just by reading the review, you can think, yes, that will suit my purpose or that won't.
Yeah, subscribe today and receive these fantastic free gifts. You get a lot of that sort of thing on books.
Yeah, or sites. Ads, or download the rest of this, or anyway.
Mm.
Anyway, Jen.
Well, that's good. That was a couple of good apps. And now a good cyber safety tip. Do you know how Facebook do updates?
Yes.
And they do an update. What do you know? The privacy settings change.
Constantly.
And you thought you were on friends. Next minute you're on public.
Friends are friends. Which is public.
So you need to check it all the time. What do you have yours on, Lois?
I have mine just on Friends.
Yeah, yeah. And then you need to check out all your friends and see if they're on Friends, because if you've got your friend not on Friends...
Yeah, that's right.
It's open.
Yes. So if they need to say... They need to tick off those boxes, don't they? Which is a ludicrous way of maintaining privacy, might I say. You know, you shouldn't have to write to the people that are on your Facebook and ask them to untick these boxes on your post so that your privacy remains private.
So, as Tony said yesterday, Facebook can be a lot of work.
It is a lot of work sometimes.
If you can't be bothered with a lot of work, get off it.
It's
so that's
true.
My cyber safety tip.
It's true, but, you know, Facebook has become so much more business orientated, and it's a way where people advertise and...
There's a lot of ads on it.
...promote their businesses so much. So it's really changing. I think it's morphing into a different thing altogether.
Yeah, ads are coming up in lots of different places, aren't they?
Hmm.
I don't like the ads on YouTube.
I don't like those either.
That's what I'm ranting about.
But you can skip those.
Yeah, but you've got to wait 5 seconds. It's a long time. 5 seconds takes ages when you're in a hurry. Like, come on, 5, 3, 2.
I don't know how I could... I don't know whether I could get rid of my Facebook anymore. I'm not sure.
Don't think you could.
I would like something else in its place.
Ah. So you think you might miss it?
Oh, I'm sure I would.
Yeah, do a lot of connecting with your family.
I do. We do lots of connecting with family. But actually using it to connect with teachers too, which is nice at the moment because we're sharing professional things on there as well. It's not... And at the moment one of our teachers is in hospital with a knee reconstruction, so we've been able to keep up to date with how she's going and things like that. So that's kind of nice. Anyway. So, Jen, I think we'll keep this one nice and short. And you've got your big Skype tomorrow, so maybe we'll get together once you've recovered and had some sleep and have a chat about all the things that happened there.
All right, and we'll see what happened with the 24-hour Skype.
Yes.
Well, thanks for tonight, Lois, and thanks for everyone for listening.
Yes, thank you,
and
everyone.
We'll see you next time on Are You Connected? Bye for now.
Bye for now.